Hello to all our friends. We are again in our special time for reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot. And before we start, we will hear a clip from our teacher that will help us enter the reading. What we are learning in the study of the Ten Sefirot, we need to understand that we are learning a system that exists, consistent, that doesn't change, and is revealed towards person gradually, and is revealed according to the vessels that are revealed in the system. There are components in the system that are connected between them, and they, in the connection between them, start to be revealed toward a person. And in this revelation of the vessels, kelim, the person starts to see the new reality, the light that exists in the kelim, the connection, the qualities that are in there. The kelim, the lights, are there in absolute rest. And that is called Gmar Tikkun, end of correction, that it's a final thought is in the final actions in the original thought. And there is no change there. But the changes are toward the person that's discovering the system. And that will be turning toward, and that it's going, and it's being revealed in the kelim, in these connections between them. The light descends. What does that mean? That the kli is being revealed in a more and more coarse way, in a stronger and stronger light. It means that the light is descending into the kli. What does it mean that the light departs? It means that the kli is refined and it can't discover the light, that it's there. It's there, but it can't be revealed toward a person. So that means it's being refined. So it's all toward the person, according to the ability to discover more. It means that there is more light that are filling the kelim. If not, then it's as if the lights are rising and departing from the vessels, the kelim. We need to understand that the system is in front of us, it's in us, and we are in that system. And it's only talking about the revelation toward us in the measure of equivalence of form in the vessels of the system. In that system, and it's all in me, it doesn't matter. But as much as I discover it, as much as my attitude is according to that quality in which the system is, that quality of bestowal, that the person is incorporating in the system in that way. It's understood that they're studying the study of the Ten Sefirot now, and learning it through the revelation of the system to him, that's revealed according to the measure that he's in resemblance to this system and the laws of that system. And the rest of it, the lights and the changes in the vessels, it's all the person that's entering into that system. And the system is static. It's Gmar Tikkun, end of correction, end of the revelation. Okay. We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, Volume 1, Part 3, Inner Observation. We are in Chapter 1, Item 3. There is no degree that does not contain Ten Sefirot of direct light. The 10 Sefirot of direct light, which are the four phases, Chub, Tum, and their root called Ketel, have already been explained thoroughly. These ten Sfirot are incorporated in the light and Sof itself, and there is no new light in all the worlds except from Ein Sof. Consequently, these four phases of direct light exist equally in each and every illumination from the beginning of the line to the end of Asiya, without any differentiations in them. Let's hear a clip of Rav on this clip. There are ten Sfirot. And the Creator, the upper light, decides on the creation of the created being and adds to the light the will to receive, and the will to receive and the light develops through the four phases of direct light. And it gets to feeling itself, and when it feels itself, he feels what is himself. The created being cannot feel himself without feeling himself towards something. So he feels the reality of the light in his desire. That means feeling himself. And that structure is ten Sfirot and Malchut of Ein Sof. Why? Because the created being feels itself there, and there's no limit. Like the upper light created him. And there is nothing more than this state. All the rest that comes out of it, all these states of the created being, are not states that really exist. It's obfuscation of in so in the forms that it takes on, that then there's all these feelings, discernments, but that original structure remains the same, and it's only that, and all the rest is only discernments in the created being. This is a very big difference. Because what we have in Ein Sof is what exists at the end of times. And everything that we say about the world of Adam Kadmon and the shattering of the Kelim and this world and that, and this whole process that happens with all of these things from below downward and below upward and above downward and so on, these ten Sfirot are the impressions and what's going on with the Malchut of Ein Sof. So there's a big difference here. We're either talking about a created being, there's no standing there, and there's a body, and you know, it's solid and it's feeling all these things that's going on, it's walking around, and how all of these worlds are. And that's why it's called the worlds, and they are the concealments, alamor, to the states that are in him. Well, it's concealed in this or in that, and according to these changes of what the Ein Sof, the created being, is in. Because in order to perceive the Ein Sof, to grasp it, the Malchut of Ein Sof needs to conceal this and discover that, and reveal it in this way, and start to understand what its state is constructed of. But all that there is that state of Ein Sof. We are continuing with Chapter 2, explains the 10 Sfirot of Reflected Light, containing three issues, and we are on Item 1. The 10 Sfirot of Direct Light clothe the 10 Sfirot of Reflected Light.
אות א', ועניין עשר ספירות דאור חוזר
Regarding the ten sfirot of reflected light brought here in the words of the Ari, they emerge by the expansion of the light of Ensof as coupling by striking on the screen in the vessel of Malchut of direct light. The screen detains the direct light that belongs to the vessel of Malchut, so it does not expand within her. Instead, it pushes it back to its place. This reflected light, meaning the entire measure of light that would have been suitable for reception in the vessel of Malchut, but she did not receive it, and it was pushed back from her, and is not regarded as having disappeared from there. Rather, it became a vessel of reception that rises and clothes all four phases of direct light. Hence, there are two phases of ten sfirot here, clothing one another, as the ten sfirot of direct light are clothed in the ten sfirot of reflected light. I will watch a clip. The light created a desire in the shoresh, the roots, and the desire in the first phase that wants to receive. The first phase wants to resemble the light because it feels the light that's bestowing, and it wants to resemble that quality. And this is the second phase, and so she thinks, what can she do that she can resemble the root phase? Also bestow, and then it starts to receive, and it starts to build the will to receive, to resemble the quality of the root, in order to resemble the root. And when it's doing that, it feels the fourth phase, that she wants to enjoy the entire stature of the Creator, as was attained in the third phase, where it was resembling. And so this is called Malchut, or the created being. And this created being that wants to receive the pleasure, everything that's in the phase of the shoresh, the root, that was not revealed in these previous steps, in these previous phases, and it's only now felt who he is and what he wants to enjoy, that created being now feels again that the light wants to bestow. And by that, he wants to resemble the light. And by wanting to resemble the light, understands that he can't change his desire. His desire is to enjoy the light in his reality and to enjoy it through the greatness of it. And so you can receive in order to bestow, as went through these four phases of the direct light. And so here comes the direct light, and there's the calculation to have it rejected completely. And then there's equal, and then there's the calculation of how much can be received in the desire in order to resemble the light, to be in bestowal. And so this first rejection is keeping this first restriction, and its calculation is the reflected light that clothes the direct light. So this the reflected light is 60%, and the direct light is 100%. So it turns out that that 60% of direct light that can be clothed is expanding in the vessel. And this is called Toch. And there's another 40% of the kli, the vessel, that can't do the reflected light, but just a restriction. So to that, there is 40% outside of it. that is called the surrounding light to 40% of the empty kli. So we are continuing with item two. The light that would have been suitable for reception in phase four, had it not been for the screen that detains it, it is called reflected light. After the restriction, the reflected light became the vessel of reception instead of the restricted phase four. Even though all the reflected light that rises is only the light of Malchut, we still discern the 10 sfirot in this reflected light. The reason is that only Malchut was the vessel of reception for the entire 10 sfirot prior to the restriction, as the 9 sfirot have no vessels of reception whatsoever. Instead, they are regarded as actual light, as Deary wrote here. From the restriction onward, Malchut can no longer receive any direct light. And thus, the reflected light that was rejected by Malchut became the vessel of reception instead of her. Hence, the light of Malchut from her, from before the restriction, is discerned as having five phases of vessels, corresponding to each phase of direct light that Malchut clothed there. Now that the reflected light operates instead of Malchut, we also discern 10 sfirot in this light that was rejected from Malchut, clothing the 10 sfirot of direct light. In addition, we discern five empty phases in the vessel of Malchut from the light that belongs to her, meaning from what she had prior to the restriction. Let's hear from Rav on this item. The reflected light is a condition for the connection between the created being and the creator, the emanator and emanated being. And the restriction doesn't connect, it just puts the emanated being in its independent position toward the emanator, the host and the guest, not wanting to receive, not wanting to be dependent, and not wanting to be incorporated, that the desires are taking anything and making any conditions here, and wanting to just be in its control, as if this state of the created being wanting to reject the creator. Therefore, Baal HaSulam rewrites that the restriction is a very extreme condition. What does it mean that it's very extreme? That also in the world of Insof, as he explains, that it comes from the yearning for adhesion, where he and his name are one, operate. He means it's what the created being attains, and his name is the quality of the creator without the attainment of the created being. So reaching the in Sof, where he and his name are one, attaining the creator in a true way, as the good does good, as it is. And therefore, the screens, the reflected light that the created being gradually develops in each and every part becomes the right vessel. As it turns out, that above in Sof, until this world, the Kli that is in Sof and it's infinite and it comes down through all of its degrees through the fourth and third and second, first and shoresh to the point.
What
does it mean that it descended? It didn't descend to desires, but the screens. And now from about downward, from below upward, according to acquiring the screen, we are operating the desire. And how is it done in the vessel? It's not in the ability to cope with the desire, so it's in these two lines. One is the desire, and the other is the screen. And to the measure that I can work and acquire the screen, to that measure the extent of the desire is revealed. If I can rise to a greater screen, a greater desire is open. And in that way, I don't fail in this movement from above downward. There is the concealment of the coarseness of the kli and the refinement of the screen. And here in return, of acquiring the screen, the masach, and adding more and more coarseness to it. We are continuing. We are in inner observation. Chapter 2, item 3. Explanation of the ten Sefirot called Naran Chai and the ones called Shengele.
3.
The difference between the ten Sefirot called Gechabtum and the ten Sefirot called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Echida
is
that the vessels of the ten Sefirot are called Kachabtum, and the lights in them are called Naran Chai. The ten Sefirot called root, soul, body, garment, hall, bear a specific meaning. They lack Zeranpin and Malchut of vessels, and Chaya and Yechida of lights. They have only Kachab of vessels, called root, soul, body, and Naran of lights. This happened in the second restriction by the ascent of Malchut to Bina. Let's watch a clip. The upper light created the vessel and filled it, and this vessel is called the Kli Ofensof. It's filling without limit. And what for is that this vessel, this kli, will get through the masach, the screen, to bestow back to the Creator according to how the Creator is bestowing to him. Is that there will be this equivalence. And by that, the created being gets to be as the Creator. And this is the purpose. But in order to get to this purpose, the created being needs on all of its desires to do corrections of bestowal. And the desires of the created being are 5 in coarseness, in the size of the desire, the shoresh, the root, the first, the second, third, and fourth phase. And then the third and fourth desires are really in order to receive. And the shoresh and the first and second are very small that are still not really feeling the self-reception. And in the vessels that have the shoish in the first and second, of course, they can do the corrections. They have the ability to have the masach and corrections in order to bestow. Means that these desires can resemble bestowal, and these desires they can be bestowal. And in the desires of the third and fourth and their coarseness, it's not possible. They are so large that they can only do the restriction, the tzimtzum, the first restriction not to use them. And what more, after they are restricted, they can be added, incorporated in the shoish aleph bet, the root in first and second. In order to bestow. So our correction is partial. This is expressed also in the names. Shoish, first, second, third, and fourth phase. This is the way it's called. Shoish, the root.
Neshama guf.
Neshama, the soul, the guf, the body, these are the internal kelim, vessels, that are connected to the body. This is the body. And the third and fourth are the garment and hall, because they are not used in a real way, so we feel it in our structure that they're outside of us. That these are external vessels. This is our perception of reality, and where does it come from? This image? It comes from a partial correction in the vessels, in spirituality. And from there, there's also our feelings that are organized in this way. In that perception of reality. Now, according to the correction of these external kelim, that they'll also come to be in order to bestow, as these kelim of the root and first and second, we'll feel this whole kli as one internal kli. And this is what there will be at the end of correction, gmar tikkun.
Okay.
And with this, we will conclude, and we'll meet again in an hour and a half for a reading from